Good morning. Welcome. This is Ephesus Baptist Church. It's God's host, the host he's provided for us to come and to worship and to praise him. And I ask you, are you glad you're part of the family of God?
Amen.
And now it's my privilege to introduce our speaker, who, as I told her I was going to say, our speaker needs no introduction, so I'm not even going to tell you who she is. But I will go a little further than that. She is a dear friend and a welcome addition to our church when she first moved here. And we have accepted her, and we all love her, and we've even forgiven her for being a Yankee. She is a good Christian. She is a good friend to everyone. And she is also a slave to her cat, Muffin, who is very aloof and shows good taste by choosing to have Carol Todd as her owner. So I would like you to welcome Carol.
I'm trying to urge the choir to go down because a couple of them threatened to shoot spitballs at me. So I'll leave that up to them. But I did originally tell Christine Trujillo that I would, if she was desperate enough, I would agree to do the morning service. And apparently she was desperate enough because I'm here. But really, to be honest with you, I got to thinking that we should never pass up an opportunity to do something for God. And I thought, who knows, this might be my last opportunity to do something for him. So I called Christine and told her if she hadn't gotten anyone else that I would agree to do this, not realizing how very nervous I would be. Connie, I remember last year you did such a nice job on Ladies' Day, and you didn't seem nervous, so I'm going to try not to appear nervous. We've been hearing a lot lately about the Tea Party movement that is sweeping this country, and about seeing reports from the rallies that they've been having in different cities. They represent a wide segment of the country that feels that government just has too much to say about pretty much everything, and they want their voices to be heard. And then, of course, we're all familiar with the famous Boston Tea Party that was born of the frustration of the people to have taxation without proper representation. I'm reminded, too, of a time that Jim and I went to New York to visit with our son when our granddaughter was about 2 years old, and we brought her a little tea set. And she was just so excited. She set that little tea set up on her table and put out the little cups and saucers. And it even had some phony food with it, too. And she asked her daddy to come to her tea party. And I can just see Robert now sitting at that little chair with his knees up under his chin, with his tea and his make-believe donut. And that's a memory that I do treasure. This morning, I'd like to invite all of you to a tea party. It will be a spiritual tea party, and I hope you can get something out of it. The first tea we are going to sample is called beauty. When we hear beauty, do we first think of physical attractiveness? We've heard that beauty is only skin deep, and we've heard pretty is as pretty does. Proverbs 31, verse 30, written nearly 1,000 years before Jesus was born, taught that charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. There's no telling how much is spent each year in the cosmetic industry in an attempt to keep ourselves beautiful. But true beauty doesn't come from a jar. Beauty that exalts the mind and spirit comes from God. As the Holy Spirit transforms our hearts, we become more like Jesus in love and service. That's real beauty. The psalmist prayed, "One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. That's Psalm 27, verse 4. Sometimes we just don't feel pretty. We may be having a bad hair day or something like that, but outward appearances do not define us. Knowing, trusting, loving, and living for Jesus is what makes us beautiful. Next, let's have a sip of identity. These days, in order to travel or do most anything, we must have documentation proving our identity. Soldiers have dog tags. We have driver's licenses, social security numbers, passports, name badges, and the list goes on. I saw on television a new product from Neutrogena that is formulated for each individual. It is called Skin ID. Imagine our skin now has identity. Those of us who have responded to the knock of Jesus on the door of our hearts and know him as Lord and Savior are identified with him. We belong to him. He knows our name, and he's written it in the book of life. He has no need for birth certificates or identification bracelets, passports, or account numbers. We have a promise based on God's solid foundation. The Lord knows those who are his. 2 Timothy 2:19. We belong to him. We've been bought and paid for by his blood shed for us. How about a little loyalty? The quality of being faithful in allegiance. Do you know anyone so loyal that he would give his life for you? Jesus would, and he did. His loyalty is forever. He walks with us through dark valleys, but his allegiance and commitment never wavers. He never grows tired. He will never leave us or forsake us. He treasures his relationship with us. He invites us to spend time with him and enjoy the warmth of his friendship. Are we loyal to him? Do we live our lives in such a way that shows our love and commitment to him? I hope so. Here's a great little T, modesty. That's not a word we hear often these days. Let's just say it would appear that we have become immodest in our dress, in our behavior, and in our speech. Pastor Stanley spoke about this in his message a couple of weeks ago. The language of our day has dropped to the level of the sewer. And it's not just the guys. Some of the ladies today are not really ladies anymore. Have you seen the promo for Christina Aguilera's new music video? It's disgraceful. It's not cool to be crude, and it certainly is not the mark of a Christian. I think good questions for us to ask are, would I use bad language in front of Jesus? Do I embarrass the Holy Spirit who lives within me with such language? Does this outfit reveal too much of me? Am I breaking God's commandment when I use his name in vain? As I said in our Sunday school class recently, I saw a bumper sticker that said, "Help stamp out pollution, clean up your speech." Yes, modesty is a T that we should learn to enjoy and have more of. I remember when I was in high school, I was with a group of friends one day, and one of the fellas said, "Gee, whatever happened to Lois?" And another of the fellas said, "Lois? I don't remember a Lois." And the other one said, "You know, Lois, the one that always told the dirty jokes." And I thought, wow, I'd hate to be remembered that way. Never want to be remembered that way. How about unity? The state of being in one accord, in agreement and harmony. Wow, there's a nice little word, but working together is never easy. We often fail to show love in our relationships. However, we must remember that we are one in Christ, and we violate the spirit of unity that Jesus prayed about in John's gospel when we don't encourage one another. Scripture tells us that God hates one who sows discord among the brethren. And in Romans 15, verse 5, we read, "May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus." You know, we've heard the song, "We are one in the bond of love," and another that says, "Bind us together with cords that cannot be broken, the cords of love." Would you like some flexibility? This tea encourages responses and attitudes. Some people are so rigid, they have broken relationships. They have refused to bend and have insisted on following their own agenda. They're stiff in their relationships with our Lord and with others. Let's be flexible before we become broken and unfit for service. Then there's security. What is secure today? Our jobs, our bank accounts, good times. Our best plans and hopes can unravel by events beyond our control. There is only one source of true security in a changing world. Paul wrote, "Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Let them do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life." That's 1 Timothy 6, 17 and 18. 17 through 19. "Even if our resources diminish, we can grow richer in good works, generosity, and sharing what we do have. We must remember, though, to trust solely on God." I mentioned generosity. I read a little story in the Daily Bread concerning generosity. It seems that there was to be a conference championship soccer match between two Christian schools, Azusa Pacific and Westmont, which was a college. 3 days earlier, a fire had destroyed several academic buildings, faculty homes, and student rooms at Westmont. Since Westmont could not host the game, the rules required that they forfeit. Instead, Azusa Pacific invited their opponents to play at their campus, where they welcomed Westmont fans with free admission and lunch. On the field, Westmont won an emotional 2-0 victory, while Azusa Pacific won admiration for their goodwill. Azusa Pacific sacrificed its chance at a title defense to give Westmont a fair shot at it. We know that God loves a cheerful giver. Giving others a chance and offering hospitality to those who hurt is generosity that makes winners of everyone involved. The manner of giving shows the character of the giver more than the gift itself. A little sip of frivolity is always good. Proverbs 15:13 says that a merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance. We've also heard that laughter is good for the soul. We know God must have had a sense of humor when he made us. And he gave us the gift of laughter. Now, we've heard of the laughing hyena, and we know that apes can make a sound that sounds like laughing, but really, human beings are the only creation of God that can really laugh. We must be careful that we do not laugh at the expense of anyone, but we can enjoy jokes and stories as long as they're appropriate. Yes, Christians can and do have fun. The list could go on and on and on, but I will close with the final T, which is Christianity. Christianity is a very essential T. The recipe for it is found in John 3:16. In Great Britain and elsewhere where the British culture has had an influence, people sometimes celebrate high tea. It is served in the late afternoon or early evening, and it is a special occasion because the food is presented formally, turning a snack into a true event. Our Lord invites us to the high tea of eternal life. His cup of grace is always overflowing. The menu includes the bread of life and the fruit of the Spirit. The tea is red, reminding us of the shed blood of Jesus. It is a healing tea made from the balm of Gilead, and it is such a gentle tea that even little children can love it and drink their fill. There are lovely flowers at this tea, Rose of Sharon and Lily of the Valley. There are no candles, for the light is supplied by Christ, the morning star. Have you gotten an invitation to this tea? There's one with your name on it, waiting for you to ask for it. The Lord adds daily to those who are being saved. Maybe today is the day you would like to ask for your invitation. I hope you will do so as the Lord prompts. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for your gift of salvation and invitation to the banquet you have prepared for us. May we all leave today knowing that we have our invitation and have RSVP'd to it. In the name of Jesus, our Redeemer, amen. Thank you.